If you have the Word of the Lord with you this day, if you turn to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 10 through 13. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me hath flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now the verse where I really want to go is verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. So I looked up this word content. So he's learned that wherever he is, whatever is going on in his life, he's learned to be content. Content means to be satisfied, to have enough, or to have be sufficient. Okay? Now, I also noticed one thing in this verse that Paul says that I have what? I have learned. Learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. It is really not within our nature to be content. It's just like with a little child. But Mark, we don't have to teach a little child how to be naughty. He knows how to be naughty. We have to teach, or they have to learn what? How to be good. Sir Jody knows that with her kids. Kids are naughty, right? Her and Jay had to teach them how to be good kids. It's not our nature. It's not our nature to be content. I've got a note farther down, but I'm going to go ahead and use it. One of the commandments is what? That we should not covet. To covet something is to, when you see your neighbor have something, you want what he has. Which means what? We're not content with what we have, do we? Are we? So when we look at, we're going to look at a lot of things today. We're going to see a lot of people, especially Israel. They were not content with a lot of things. And we're going to go through some of these things and learn. We're going to go in the New Testament. We're going to go in the Old Testament. But we're going to see. Now, as I talked with Brother Leroy, and he says, this is a pretty good subject, he says, but it's a hard one because it's a hard thing for us to want to be content. Because if we look at it, we are, by nature, complainers. Now, I'm sure everybody, after the snow we've had and everything, and with the cold weather, and then all of a sudden that snow started coming down. We were a little farther south in DeMont, and it was snowing pretty good. And we're right away, it's like, what is this? More snow? And we're complaining. We're complaining. Just like, well, it's supposed to be cold again this week. Oh, it's going to be cold again. You know, the Lord brings us through all these things, doesn't He? We don't know the reason why we had that big snowstorm. We don't know why it was going to be cold again and everything. But we need to learn. And this is something for Dave, let me tell you, to be content with what things we have. We always look at it, and we're in a society, and I almost want to say it's almost like we're talking about that plastic society. We're in a society today that, you know what? These manufacturers and the different producers of products and everything, they know exactly the human nature. They know human nature. Because if you ever look, let's just say, okay, iPhone. They came up with just the iPhone, right? Then it was the iPhone 2, then it was the 3, then it was the 4, now it's the 5. Because they know what? I know what they try to sit there and say, well, the technology is getting better. But they know the nature of man, that they're not content with what they have today. We want more. I've got a smartphone. Yeah, I want an iPhone now. We're thinking about switching. We don't like T-Mobile because we get this and that and whatever. So we're going to switch to AT&T. We're going to get iPhones instead of a smartphone. Is there anything wrong with my smartphone? Not a thing wrong with it. Although one time I had a phone that I went in and we went to trade it in and whatever. And the guy looked at it and he's like, I didn't think anybody even had a phone like this anymore. But they always know. With the iPad, well, it's the iPad. Now it's they get the mini iPad. Then they have the Retina display. And then they do this and they do that. It's same thing with automobiles. It's same thing with cleaning products or whatever. New and improved. You know? I'm thankful that there's one thing that's not new and it hasn't been improved upon, and that's this right here. It's the same thing, isn't it? We don't have to sit there and say, ooh, I want the NIV. I don't want the NIV. I got a Bible here that's just good enough. But even then, I guess we can say that, you know, look at all these people. They want, well, I don't want the King James Version. I can't understand that. It's hard to read. It's this or that. Well, I want the NIV. It's better. Or the ASV. Or the New International Version. Or I want this. I want that. You know, even the people that make our Bibles know or want to know that they know our Bibles, they know that man is not content with these things and they try to make them new and improved. We have to learn. It's a hard thing to be content with where we're at and the situation that we're in. To be satisfied, to have enough. How much is too much? How much is enough? We can see, I'm sure Jay and Jody and the kids know about that. You know, we know about it. Sometimes you have to eat peanut butter, you eat hot dogs. You know, you can't have steak. Sometimes you can't go out to a nice restaurant and whatever. You know, the situations we learn that, you know what, these other things, we need to be content because God is so good unto us, isn't He? No matter what situation we're in, He takes care of us. No matter what situation we're in, He brings us through that situation, doesn't He? How many things has He brought us through? He's brought us through a lot of different things. He's brought us through getting hurt real bad, to being out of work, to not being able to do the things that you used to do. It's not the same. We have to learn. You know, I have to learn that as I'm growing older, I can't do the things. I got to be content with what I can do now. Sometimes you get aggravated when you can't do the things that you used to be able to. We have learned in whatsoever state, we need to learn these things. And you know what? The reason why I read 10 because, and then down to 13 is verse 13. I can do all things through Christ, which gives me strength. See, Paul knew it wasn't he himself couldn't do it. He couldn't do it on his own. We can't do it on our own. It's like Mabel tries to tell, you know, David, you know, you got to have Jesus Christ in your life. Without Jesus Christ, you can't do those things. You can't. We cannot learn to be content with whatsoever state we are if we don't have Christ with us. And we can do this. We can do this through Jesus Christ, who gives us the strength to do these things. To go through life, to stay away from the things that we know we shouldn't be doing, and to do the things that we know we should be doing. So let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 6. Now I'm going to read quite a few verses here. But I just want to read the first verse here, and I'm going to talk about a word that's in there. But godliness with contentment is great gain. So now that word content, so now we got a word contentment. But godliness with contentment is great gain. Contentment means that we have satisfaction with what one has. So if we have godliness but we are content, it's great gain, isn't it? If we are satisfied with what one has. I was watching the news the other day, and they had this couple that last year It was a married couple. I don't know if they had any kids. I don't think they had any kids. But they decided that they were going to go one whole year without buying anything brand new. Now, I'm not talking about food or anything like that. I mean, they had to buy food. But as far as like clothing and different stuff like this, a new car, a new TV, a new radio, anything like this, they didn't go out and buy anything new for one whole year. And they survived. And then the guy that was the newscaster said, "So what about this year?" And they said, "Well, we haven't bought anything new yet this year either. Of course, we're only a couple weeks into the year." But still. Now, do you realize that in order to do that, you know what? You got to have contentment there. Because you really have to be satisfied with what you have. Because we know we're like this, well, I need to go out and buy a new shirt. Or I need new pants or whatever this and that. You know, we have to learn. And here he's saying, Paul's saying, you know what? Godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. You know, last week I spoke upon at Oak Grove Church daily how God takes care of us daily. And in the Lord's Prayer, he says, give us this day our daily bread. And in the other spot, I think it's in Luke, and he says, give us day by day our daily bread. Give us those things, the daily bread. That daily bread means give us today the things that we need to get through today. Today. We don't need the things of yesterday to get us through today. We don't need the things of tomorrow to get us through today. We need the things of today to get through. And one of the things in having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. Now I'm going to go read some other verses here. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, having pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things, and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called, and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses. See, he says we should flee these things. You know, in verse 10, it says what? For the love of money is the root of all evil. Love of money. See, people say money is the root of all evil. It's the love of money is the root of all evil. Because when we look at these things again, we're not content with what he's given us. When you have that love of money in your heart, you're putting everything else, including family, you're putting everything else underneath that so that you just can get more and more money. Because you're not content with what you have. You're not content. So when you do all of these things, what does it say? It drowns men in destruction and perdition. And it said in verse 10, it says, which while some have coveted after, they were greedy about, they have erred or turned away from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But see what he says, but thou, O man of God, what does he tell you? Flee these things. Turn away from these things. And follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. He tells us, what are we to do? Fight the good fight of faith. Have faith in God. Have faith in God. That's what we need to do. Fight that good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life. Because that's where we have been called unto eternal life. And we have professed a good profession before many witnesses. We need to watch and do these things. If we go down into verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world You notice there, you see that, what it says there, Brother Mark? Charge them that are rich in this world, or the things of this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches. Because what does it say? He says, you know, that we should not trust in uncertain riches, because it says what? You know, we brought nothing into this world. We can't take nothing out. You can get all the money in the world, but you can't take that money with you. I guess you could if you wanted to. I guess you could put it in your casket and whatever. What good is that money going to do you in your casket? It's not going to get you any inch closer to heaven, is it, at all? That money is going to do you no good. Not at all. We've brought nothing into this world. We are going to take nothing out of this world. That body lays in that grave when we die, and that soul goes into heaven to be with God. I know there's going to be there's going to come a day when body and soul are going to be reunited. Nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. O Timothy, keep that which is committed to thy trust. Avoid profane and vain babblings and oppositions of science falsely so called, which some professing have erred concerning the faith. Grace be with you. Amen. See, when we have that grace of God, we can be content. It's a hard thing. You know, I'm here to say I'm probably one of the biggest ones sometimes, that I'm not content. And when I read this, and it just impressed upon my mind to bring this out, you know, and I know it's for me, but we all need to look at that and to be understand, because we're going to go to some verses in a little bit here, and we're going to see that even the chosen people of God, we're not content. And they murmured a lot. We're going to go to the Exodus, and we're going to see shortly a lot of these things. Turn to Hebrews chapter 13. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 5. Let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. And this is where I had my little note that thou shalt not covet. Because he says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. Because it says, thou shalt not covet. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, nor his manservant, nor his maidservant, or the things he has, or anything like that. You know, and I know sometimes it's not that we covet so much. It's just like, you know, I guess maybe it is. Maybe I'm just trying to say, like, sometimes I get a little jealous and whatever. Like when I went up and I seen Matt had, my son-in-law Matt had that nice zero-turning radius John Deere, and I thought, but that would just make it a whole lot nicer for me. And I'm kind of like, ooh, I want one of those. Do I need it? No. Do I have a tractor that's good, that's got a lawnmower on it? Yeah, I've got it. It's just, you know, and I, like I said, it's in our nature. And we just like, the old man is always in us, isn't it, Brother Mark? The old man is always there. And what do we need to do? We need to put him into subjection all the time. We need to keep pushing that old man down, because he wants to rear up his old ugly head. We need to keep pushing down. Same thing with this. We need to keep pushing this down and covet things and not being content with what we have. You know, because I think that's really a little bit of Satan that's within us, because he says, oh man, you know, don't you want that? Doesn't it be nice to have that? Knowing that these things, you know, but godliness with contentment is great gain. When we look at this, you know, for he hath said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Isn't that so wonderful? In all these times when we think that we're not content and we need all these things, you know, he says, you know what? I'm going to never leave you. I'm not going to forsake you. He's with us during all those times. Can you imagine when he looks down from heaven and sees us as we are sometimes? And he's probably just up there, just shaking his head and just looking at us. You know, be content. Let our conversation be without covetousness. You know, I will never leave you nor forsake you. You know, he's always there for us. No matter what our situation is, he's always there. He says, I am never going to leave you. I am never going to forsake you. That's a promise that he's given unto us. So, and just like we said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst. He doesn't say, I might be. Yeah, I should be. Maybe I could be. But Jesus says, if you have two or three are gathered in my name. Now, if you notice something, and I know Mark's going to agree with me on this. He doesn't say that where two or three are gathered in this nice big church building. He doesn't say that because why? Because Jesus knows that the building is not the church. The people are the church. So where two or three are gathered in my name, I am in the midst. So even let's just say now these last, you know, been a while since we've had church. You know, I know we had a little bit of, we listened to Brother Bradley and whatever, you know, and Jay and Jody could have had a little bit of devotion with their kids and whatever on these Sundays and whatever. And, you know, Jesus was blessing them with his presence as they're there. He doesn't make a stipulation on any place that you have to be. And he doesn't say that you have to be in a church building. He says, if you're gathered and you're gathered together in my name, he says, what? I am in the midst of you. And he is going to be there. And as we go through life, he is there for us. He sent the Holy Spirit into the world to be what? Our comforter and to be our guide. To help us through these things. To help us through the things that we might be going through today. To help us to be content with whatsoever things we have. Turn to Matthew chapter 20. Now this is a little bit of a parable that Jesus is teaching, and there was a householder who had a vineyard, and he seen some people out there sitting in the street, and he said, "What are you doing sitting here?" He said, "Well, no man's hired us. Well, go out and whatever, and I'll give you a penny for what you want to do and everything." So he went out two or three times during the day, found other guys and said, you know, go out there and work in the field and whatever's right, I'm going to go ahead and give you. So in verse 8, so when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more. And they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying, these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made him equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day. But he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is, and go thy way. I will give unto this last, even as unto them. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? So then the last shall be first and the first last. For many be called, but few chosen. So we can see these guys, what are they? They were murmuring. They thought, well, hey, I worked all day long. The guy said, I didn't do you no wrong, did I? Didn't you agree with me for a penny? You know, that's like, I know, Jody, you go, you do take care of these houses, their plants and everything. You agree with the price beforehand, right? I know Mabel, she goes and cleans house. I know Susie cleans house. You agree with the price beforehand, don't you? And so then, if you get it at the end of it or whatever, or somebody, well, I want more money. Well, wait a minute. Didn't you agree with me with this? You know, so you have to be content with what you've agreed to do, and what you have agreed is compensation for us. My wife knows that I'm a complainer. I go into work and I'll sit there and I'll get into work and things aren't just the way I think they should be. You know, well, this guy didn't do this. This guy didn't do that. And my wife has to remind me the fact, Dave, that's your job. So I'm trying to learn to be better. I need to learn that in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. That's my job. So when I go in there, I need to do my job and not be a complainer and a murmurer or anything like that. We need to be able to be that way in our lives, because you know what? It goes a whole lot better when we're that way, doesn't it? It just goes always a whole lot better. So I wrote down a few notes. Then we're going to go and we're going to look in the book of Exodus. But I wrote down, I said, Israel was brought out of bondage in Egypt. And they were brought out of this bondage by God with a mighty hand and with a lot of different plagues that He put upon Egypt. But it seems as they were going out through the wilderness and they were going out, they were complaining all the time. Now, I know this might seem silly, but I wrote down, they were complaining that they had no water. But evidently, they weren't really that thirsty because they were able to still walk. They were complaining they had no water, but God was taking care of them. They complained, oh man, we got to travel such a long distance. But they traveled 40 years in the wilderness. And what does the Bible say, Brother Mark? Their shoes hadn't wore out. How do you do that? How do you walk 40 years in the desert, in a wilderness, and walking around, going on, and your shoes don't wear out? But they were complaining, continuously complaining, all the time. Turn to Exodus chapter 15. I'm going to read verses 22 to 25. So Moses brought Israel from the Red Sea, and they went out into the wilderness of Shur. And they went 3 days in the wilderness and found no water. And when they came to Marah, they could not drink of the waters of Marah, for they were bitter. Therefore the name of it was called Marah. And the people murmured against Moses, saying, "What shall we drink?" And he cried unto the Lord, and the Lord showed him a tree, which when he had cast into the waters were made sweet. There he made for them a statute and an ordinance, and there he proved them, and said, I'm going to read a little bit more, "If thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments, and keep all of his statutes, I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee." So now, God was not really too happy with Israel, for they were complaining. And they were continuously complaining every little thing that was going wrong. They forgot that for all those years, they were in bondage. And for all those years, what did they do, Brother Mark? They cried unto God to be delivered. So now God delivers them out of Egypt, and they're still complaining. They're still complaining. God delivers us. He delivered us, didn't He, Brother Mark? He brought us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And what do? We complain. We complain. It's in our nature. But look, even in there, is what's in verse 26 anything different than what's in the New Testament? if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. That's no different than what's in the New Testament. Hearken to the voice of the Lord, and will do that which is right in His sight, and will give ear to His commandments, and keep all of His statutes. You know, for He says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. He's there for us. We can see this. We need to be content with these things. A lot of these things are so close together in here. Turn to Exodus chapter 16. We're going to start, verse 2, but let's start at verse 1. And there took their journey from Elim, and all the congregation of the children of Israel came into the wilderness of Sin, which is between Elim and Sinai, on the 15th day of the second month after departing out of the land of Egypt. And the whole congregation of the children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. And the children of Israel said unto them, Would to God we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots, and when we eat bread to the full, for ye have brought us forth into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger. Then said the Lord unto Moses, Behold, I will rain bread from heaven for you, and the people shall go out and gather a certain rate every day, that I may prove them whether they walk in my law or no. And it shall come to pass that on the sixth day they shall prepare that which they bring in, and it shall be twice as much as they gather daily. And Moses and Aaron said unto all the children of Israel, At even, then ye shall know that the Lord hath brought you out from the land of Egypt. And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord, for that he heareth your murmurings against the Lord. And what are we that ye murmur against us? And Moses said, This shall be when the Lord shall give you in the evening flesh to eat, and in the morning bread to your fill, for that the Lord heareth your murmurings which ye murmur against him. And what are we? Your murmurings are not against us, but against the Lord. And Moses spake unto Aaron, Say unto all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he hath heard your murmurings. And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, I have heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. Speak unto them, saying, At even ye shall eat flesh, in the morning ye shall be filled with bread, and ye shall know that I am the Lord your God. So we can see Israel, they came out. And now it's the 15th day of the second month after they had come out. Now the Lord evidently had been taking care of them. Sister Jody had been taking care of them because it had been a couple months now since they had been out into the wilderness. So evidently he's been giving them water, he's been giving them something to sustain them. And we see in verse 2, the whole congregation of children of Israel murmured against Moses and Aaron. And we can see that later on, Moses said that, you know what, you're not murmuring against us. What are you murmuring against? The Lord. You're not happy. But look at with them. See, they didn't remember the taskmasters. They remember some of the good things. Would to God we had died by the hand, in verse 3, of the Lord at the land of Egypt when we sat by the flesh pots. And when we did eat bread to the full. So they said, you know, man, we had all this stuff and everything in there. But they don't remember the taskmasters and what they were having them doing. The heavy burdens they were putting upon them. When Pharaoh sat there and said, you know what? He told the midwives, you need to what? Kill the babies. Kill the babies. See, they forget all these things. And sometimes we forget the goodness of the Lord and how good He's been unto us. And He has been really good unto us, hasn't He? He takes care of us. Are any of us really wanting for anything? What does it say? Having food and raiment, let us be there with content. Now with raiment, I'm going to include our housing. He's given us a house. I might not live in a $1 million mansion, but I live in a house. I might not be able to eat filet mignon every day, but He provides me with food and to sustain me. He's provided each and every one of us with a job that we can support our families. And I know this building is not the congregation, but He's given us a building that we can be here and be out of the weather. And we can come together and worship in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. But I like in verse 12, you know, I've heard the murmurings of the children of Israel. You're going to be filled, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And we need to know that He is the Lord our God. You know, we can see it in so many things that He is. You know, you can see even in other parts, if you want to study it out, you can see that in other parts they said, you know, we had all these vegetables. We had all this stuff. You can see they had flesh to eat. They had meat. They had all these things. But yet they were out there and they were complaining. Complaining of what God had given unto them. You know, we need to be content. I know a lot of times we're not content. Just a couple more places we're going to go. Turn to Numbers chapter 11. We're going to read verses 4 through 10. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a-lusting, and the children of Israel also wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. But now our soul is dried away. There is nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was as a coriander seed, and the color thereof was as bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it into mills and beat it with mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. So we can see, you know, here God had given them something to eat, but they weren't satisfied with it. They said, hey, we remember when we had the fish, the cucumbers and the melons and the leeks and the onions and the garlics. We remember when we had all these things to eat. See, again, it's easy to remember the good things, isn't it? But then they forgot about the bad things that happened to them and how God brought them out. So many times we forget the goodness of the Lord. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. I'm just going to read one verse, verse 10. Neither murmur ye as some of them also murmured and were destroyed of the destroyer. They're talking about in the Old Testament when they were going about in there. And they were murmuring, continuing to murmur. And see, that is in our nature. See, it's in their nature. It was in their nature to murmur. They didn't have to be taught how to murmur. They knew how to do it. So I wrote down a few notes. And I looked and I said, you know, I started thinking of Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were cast into a bad situation. Israel had been taken into exile. They were exiled. They were exiled because why? They were murmuring, complaining, and not doing what the Lord God wanted them to do. So Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into a bad situation. Go ahead and read in the book of Daniel. They didn't really do a whole lot of complaining. They used the situations there to glorify God, and they were content. You look at Daniel, he sat there, and when they wanted him to eat, the flesh and the stuff that was offered unto idols. He didn't want to do that. So he talked with the guy and said, hey, look, try us and see. We're going to eat the pulse. We're going to eat, drink the water. We're going to do this and that. We're not going to drink the wine that's offered unto idols. We're not going to drink the meat that's offered and sacrificed to idols. Let us drink, eat pulse, beans, and water. You talk about being content with what you have. Would you be content with eating beans and drinking water? I doubt if we would in this day and age. Now, they were mainly eating pulse, beans, vegetables, things like that. Things that are what? Good for us, right? They were drinking water, which is what? Good for you. It's good for you to drink water. It's good for you to eat vegetables. And what happened? When the guy came and looked on them after the time that was set, they were, look, they had a better appearance than the other children that were there. These were children, remember at the very beginning? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were put into a situation. They stood. They didn't complain. They stood for the Lord, didn't they? When they said, you know what? They made this big statue and they said, what? When you hear all these different kinds of music, you're to what? You're to fall down and worship that image. And they know that, what does the commandment say? Thou shalt worship the servant, your Lord God, and Him only shall you serve. They weren't going to bow down. They didn't complain or anything. They just knew that they weren't going to do it. And they were willing to, what? Die. And they were thrown into that fiery furnace. And what happened? Just remember, what has God been saying? You know what? I'm going to deliver you from all these things. And He did. He delivered them. Daniel was told that he couldn't make any petition. Basically, he couldn't pray to anybody but the king. And he knew he prayed to God. He didn't close the curtains to try to hide it. He continued to pray. He was thrown into the lion's den. Joseph was put into similar situations, wasn't he? Pretty much. He also learned to be content with whatever situation he was. He could have complained. He could have sat there and just went with the flow, couldn't he? But he didn't. It's easy in the world today. Just go with the flow. Isn't that what everybody says? Well, just go with the flow. Just go along. Don't worry about it. Don't try to fight against these things. Remember, he was put in prison. He was put in prison. Why? Because he wouldn't sleep with his boss's wife. Stood for his principles. Because of standing for his principles, he was, well, and I guess he was put into that situation because what? His brothers sold him into slavery. So now he's being put into all these different situations. And God's with him. And God's blessing him. And he's learned, you know what? Basically, you know, to be content with that. You know, what was he going to do? So he's put into prison. Remember, the chief butler and chief baker of Pharaoh was in there. And they dreamed a dream. He interpreted both of their dreams. Dreams came true. So he told them too. Well, he basically told the chief butler because the baker was lost his head. So he told that the chief butler, what did he say unto him? Remember me. Remember me when you get back in with Pharaoh. How long was it? How long was it before Pharaoh dreamed those dreams? Anybody remember? I had to look it up, so I'm not saying I'm better than anybody else. I had to look it up. I looked it up actually this morning. 2 years. So it was 2 years after the chief butler was taken back and put into Pharaoh's house. And all of a sudden, Pharaoh dreamed a dream. So you think, we can do all things through Christ. Here's Joseph was telling him 2 years before this dream was going to be by Pharaoh, remember me. And what happened that day when Pharaoh dreamed that dream and he says no one could interpret it? What did that chief butler say? I remember today my faults. I remember today my faults. You know, there was this guy in prison, and he could remember dreams. So can you imagine for 2 years being in that prison, knowing you were in prison falsely, for one thing, but we can see and just look, study out that the life of Joseph and see how content he was. Content he was in whatever situation he was. And he was serving. He continued to serve the Lord his God all that time, didn't he? So, my question to you today is this. How are we going to be in our lives? Are we going to be in Israel that murmured a lot? Are we going to be like Paul? Paul was put into a lot of situations. And you can see, he learned. He learned through all these situations. He was left for dead even. Are we going to be like Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego? Are we going to be like Joseph? Are we going to be like Paul? Or are we going to be like Israel? That's my question for you. Meditate upon that this week. I thank each and every one for your kind attention today.